Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. They are based in Washington, D.C., where the nation's capital is getting set for the inauguration of the 47th president of the United States, Donald Trump. We're going to talk about that with Scott. Scott, good to have you here.
Thanks for having me back, Loman.
So as we look to the inauguration here, Scott, what is going to unfold? There's usually a lot of pomp and circumstance, a lot of ceremony, and apparently a lot of celebration going on in the Capitol.
Well, we're definitely expecting the same thing. This weekend, we've got all sorts of inaugural festivities that are taking place and some of the early balls. And we're actually expecting some snow in Washington, D.C. on Sunday. And on Monday morning, they're calling for really, really chilly weather. It's supposed to be a high of 21 right now. And, I would expect during the inauguration itself that we'll be in the low teens to mid-teens. And that's going to be the coldest inauguration since Ronald Reagan in 1985. And that's not going to damper the attitude and excitement in Washington to have Donald Trump coming back into office. There's a lot of America First MAGA patriots that are ascending to Washington now. I was downtown this week. There's already an enormous buzz, not just on Capitol Hill, but in restaurants and bars and all over the city. I think that there's just a tremendous excitement to sort of turn the page on the economic malaise we've experienced underneath the Biden administration and really get back to sort of this entertainment and the personality of Donald Trump that extends all throughout his administration. We've got Carrie Underwood that's going to be singing on Monday. And, you know, for all of us football fans, you know, we've been saying we've been waiting all day for Sunday night. Well, we've been waiting 4 years for the inauguration of Donald Trump.
It's interesting this time around, Scott, if you compare it looking back to 2017. In 2017, there was a lot of sort of standoffishness when it came to Donald Trump. It was a shocking upset that he beat Hillary Clinton, and the resistance was at a very high point. This time around, to me, and you can talk a bit about this, it seems more normal, if you will, the way we're doing this transition.
Well, that's certainly a good thing, right? And I think with the death of Jimmy Carter, a lot of people saw his funeral at the National Cathedral. Trump and Obama were seated next to each other because Michelle Obama, who would normally sit between two presidents, skipped the funeral because she apparently didn't want to sit next to Trump. But they were yucking it up and laughing. And, you know, we've all seen sort of the lip-reading memes that have come out from that. I think that there will be sort of a return to the historic norms and precedent of a handover of power. However, Michelle Obama has said she's going to skip the inauguration. So it'll be interesting to see how Obama handles the ordeal, sort of being there by himself. Setting aside the Democrats and really looking forward to Republican unified government, Trump's going to come out of the gate on Inauguration Day. I think he's going to sign a bunch of important executive orders, rolling back these harmful regulations and orders that Biden has promulgated and issued throughout the last 4 years. I think the administration's new policies will make an immediate difference on day one. And there's Democrats that are really, really concerned about that. We read this week that a lot of the sort of veterans from the Biden and Obama and Clinton administrations are forming coalitions to stand up a communications arm against what President Trump is going to be doing. And it's not like they even know exactly what's going to happen, right? They're just going to be these partisan blowhards on MSDNC and other legacy media and just trashing every move that Trump takes. But I think that for everybody that's out there listening, we've just got to be able to judge the next 4 years from the previous 4 years and decide in 4 years whether we were better off or not. And that's how I sort of looked at the first Trump administration compared to the 4 years we endured of Joe Biden as president, the weaponization of government. All that's going to go away. And I'm just, tremendously excited for what this week and the next 4 years is going to bring to the United States of America.
Well, no doubt a new day is dawning in Washington, D.C. And in many ways, Scott, it's as if Donald Trump has really been the de facto president of the United States ever since Election Day for the last couple of months, because world leaders and national opinion leaders, influencers have been making their way to Mar-a-Lago. Interestingly, including John Fetterman. And John Fetterman, of course, is U.S. Senator from Pennsylvania, my home state. So we've had a front row seat to him. Interesting to see the friendship that seems to be budding between Donald Trump and John Fetterman. What do you make of that?
Well, it's interesting, no doubt about it. When Fetterman got elected, there were a lot of questions about his own abilities following his stroke. But I think the reality is that he's sort of turned out to be the next Joe Manchin of the United States Senate for Senate Democrats. He has committed to supporting several of the Trump nominations. And he says, you know, I'm a senator for all Pennsylvanians, and my job is to get out there and try to find common ground with any administration. And I think that that's sort of a breath of fresh air for a lot of people to hear. The devil will be in the details and the evidence of what he actually does to work with the Trump administration. But there should be some optimism, and I think that we'll see that right away with the nominations. And I think Fetterman will be in play to vote with Republicans on the reconciliation package, because look at the bottom line of what it's going to do in terms of closing our border and increasing border security, and also, you know, reducing the level of taxation on all Americans in the middle class, which will make a fundamental difference with inflation and economic growth and productivity. Really, really important things that I think Pennsylvanians care about. The bottom line is, Loman, that groceries and the cost of living, the cost of energy are big, big issues to Pennsylvania. Those can be addressed within the reconciliation package. So it's going to be interesting to see whether Fetterman supports that. We're expecting final passage sometime around Easter. And I know that you and I are going to be talking a lot with the listeners about budget reconciliation, energy, illegal immigration, and the economy in the months ahead.
Right now, it's a celebration weekend and the inauguration of President Donald Trump, but a lot of work lies ahead, and we will work our way through all of that with Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, tell us a bit about the club.
Club for Growth is based out of Washington, D.C. We're united in the mission of economic freedom, liberty, and opportunity, and making sure that we have a limited government that adheres to our constitutional responsibilities. If you want to learn more about us, then check us out at clubforgrowth.org, where you can actually sign up and become a member for free.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, thank you for being here.
You're welcome.